Good morning and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us this fine Friday for TechNet Friday. Me from, I guess, moonlit Seattle, we have Peter Detender. Peter, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Rasmus. Good morning, the audience. Indeed, I'm playing live from Seattle. It's like couple of minutes past 1 o'clock in the morning here, but it's just to show my passion for Azure Site Recovery.
Excellent. So we are super happy that you're staying up late this morning, and that you are willing to join us here. So Peter, would you mind introducing yourself and your work around Azure Site Recovery? Because I know you spend quite a lot of your time working with this technology. So let us know a little bit about your daily work with this and what else you're up to.
Yeah, so I got involved with Azure Site Recovery since a couple of months, actually out of a request from one of my customers that asked me for an easy disaster recovery solution, which was affordable, easy to manage, and easy to implement. So as I've been a Microsoft expert for a couple of years already, I started investigating the preview of Azure Site Recovery at that time. And to be honest, in less than an hour, we actually got it up and running. And that was for me like the trigger. This is the technology that I really want to focus on. So in the meantime, I finished a full two-day course on Azure Site Recovery. So if people would be interested in attending that one, I got one slide on that coming up. And for the rest, I've done a couple of implementations in smaller environments, already in a couple of larger environments. And so far, everybody's super happy about it.
Excellent. So, well, you have some important points here because it is quite a new technology. And we are, of course, hoping for you to share your experience from real customer implementation. Don't share the customer names, but that is actually the point of these webcasts, is that we get practical experience from real implementation. And whoever to present this than the guy that trains the trainers. So thanks again for joining us. Let me also highlight what I read on Twitter last night, that you were just renewed as an MVP, Microsoft's Most Valuable Professional, but now you are an MVP on Azure, right?
Yes, apparently it is. So I was an MVP for 2 years in the Windows IT Pro category, because I'm working pretty broad in the Microsoft infrastructure technologies. But indeed, since this morning, I'm rewarded in the Azure category, which makes me super happy.
Excellent. Of course, congratulations again. So right now, we'll turn the stage over to you, Peter, to get you going with the technical deep dive on Azure Site Recovery. And I will sit back and relax and not to interrupt you too much. But of course, if we have great questions from the audience, I will just pick them in there. So Peter, the stage is all yours.
Thank you very much. All right, so for the next close to 50 minutes, I think, I'm going to introduce you in the cool world of Azure Site Recovery. Now, to make sure that you understand the reasons and the main focus on the existence of Azure Site Recovery and why you could use it in your own environment, I actually split it up in three different components. So the first is, what is disaster recovery? Why do organizations need disaster recovery? Then moving over to the already existing disaster recovery solutions out of Microsoft. And then, of course, and this will be the highlight of the session, explaining in, it's not like a real technical deep dive because it's a bit too short in showing everything in 50 minutes. Although I prepped like half of the timing will be just a walkthrough in the live console and how to configure it and actually perform a failover. So I just classified it as the Azure Site Recovery deep dive. bit of additional information about myself. It's not that important for the presentation as such. So as mentioned in the introduction, I'm an infrastructure architect, mainly working with Microsoft technology, almost 20 years now. About 10 years ago, I started delivering trainings and technical workshops, and I decided to become a Microsoft Certified Trainer, which is one of the reasons I'm currently in Seattle for attending a Certified Trainer Summit. And besides that, I'm also active in the overall MCT community on a European level. And besides that, I still find time to continue working with Microsoft technologies by writing books and by writing white papers and training content and so on. So with that, I actually can already hand out a couple of gifts. I know that although it's a live session and it's not really in like a classroom or conference setup, the ones who know me, they should know that I really like interaction and I give away some swag. So in a live session, it's a bit harder, although actually two things that I can offer you is one of my ebooks that I got published earlier this year on Hyper-V, which is more the introduction of Hyper-V, moving up to Hyper-V clustering, Hyper-V integration with Azure. So if you're still running on a VMware platform, don't worry. Even that one is covered in the Hyper-V mastering book. And then on the second offer is the courseware that I published for Upskillity. It's actually brand new. It got live beginning this week on Azure Site Recovery, a two-day course available as an online course, including labs, or available as a typical classroom setup. And the friends from Upskillity provide you a discount code for a 30-day free access. And then to continue on my community involvement, about 2 years ago at a TechEd conference in Madrid, I found my fellow peer in the community, and by coincidence, we were wearing yellow pants. So that's actually the background of the name. If you're interested in Microsoft certification and Microsoft technologies, I suggest you follow us on Twitter. We also have a website, techedyellowpantsteam.com, where you can register for free. And again, you can win one of the Hyper-V ebooks. Now, enough with the personal marketing. I think it's about time we dive into the technology. Now, first of all, to make sure that you understand the topic, what is disaster recovery? It's actually pretty easy. When something happens, an easy example, the lights go out. When the lights go out and it's pitch dark black, then it's panic. Oh no, my IT environment is down. How can I make sure that everything comes back, that everything stays up and running? Well, again, referring to a light bulb, it's pretty simple. The light switch is your solution. Just by turning on the switch, the light is back. So bringing that to Azure, sit down and relax, and you'll just love Azure and all the great functionalities in there. Now, when looking at disaster recovery solutions, I mean, it's nothing new. Azure Site Recovery is pretty new. I mean, it's about a year old. The disaster recovery as such, it exists since the early days of IT. Now, one of the things that if we focus on the components within a data center, a lot of different setups and topologies and functionalities are available to actually provide disaster recovery. So for example, you have one data center. In that one data center, you can build fault-tolerant data storage, multiple storage components. On top of that, we implemented virtual machines, physical machines, building clustering like a SQL cluster or an Exchange cluster, or multiple web servers or application servers by using load balancing and all the other complex mechanisms. And that's only in one data center. Now moving that to a second data center, we add additional complexity, additional budget, which is in most cases pretty expensive even. Most of all, pretty complex, hard to configure. In a lot of cases, it's like a vendor lockdown. So it's not a disaster recovery solution out of Azure. It's completely new. You'll find out during the rest of the session that a lot of those headaches we had in the past when implementing such topologies are actually almost out of the box solved by using the Azure Site Recovery System. And then this brings us to the true disaster recovery challenge. So an easy example, easy setup, we have our own data center, the office building, the users are located in the same building, a couple of users are working remotely, and on the other side, we provided an external disaster recovery solution at a hosting partner or even in our own environment with a stretched building. So users within the building and remote users are connecting to our prime data center. And we do offloading of our workloads to a second data center. Now, if one of our workloads goes down, well, we don't really have to worry because we already have a second data center. So what will actually happen is by using the right technologies, our remote users will be redirected to the external data center where a copy, a snapshot, a replica of our application is running. And the same goes for the on-premises users. Now, what happens if the full data center is gone? Well, again, nothing really special. We just redirect the users to the other side. And in some cases, we even move the users to the other side. So that's how we solved it for the last couple of years. Now, why should we reconsider, or you at least, should reconsider your disaster recovery today? First of all, it's probably working well. I mean, it's like proven technology. It's implemented for years. It's what we know for, this is our environment. We do manual monitoring. We do probably failover testing. But in the end, it's a complicated setup. It requires end-to-end planning and design. How to make sure that all my machines can failover? What's the sequence of the machines that I need to use? In a lot of cases, vendor lock-in. That if you have one storage solution in your prime data center, then in a lot of scenarios, you actually need to use a similar storage solution in the secondary data center. And then, for me personally, the most important one, all those solutions, and I've implemented a lot of them in the past years, are, pretty expensive, and even pretty is still not exaggerated. So by turning the idea into why not adopting the public cloud? First of all, public cloud is there. It's again proven technology. It's less complicated, and maybe the most important one, it's way cheaper to implement. And then just to be sure that you understand the main focus on disaster recovery, it doesn't mean we have a monthly maintenance plan by doing reboots, by using Windows Update implementations and so on. That's not a disaster recovery plan. Or another remark I got from one of my customers, we don't need a disaster recovery. We already have a backup solution. A backup is somehow part of your disaster recovery. It's more like high availability. But having a backup, of course, is already good. But it's mainly an issue when you have to do the restore. It's taking a lot of time. Sometimes the backup is not available, the backup is not reliable, or the tape is just not available anymore. And then the last one, one of the sentences I took from an email, I don't need a disaster recovery. I can blame it on the IT guy anyway, which in this situation was me being the partner. Now, if we go to the Microsoft disaster recovery stack, again, it's building on top of the infrastructure. So again, a base image, we have computing power, storage, local disks, a SAN solution, and networking components. On top of that, we install our hypervisor servers, and on the top layer, we run our applications. So third-party storage, because that's not really integrated in Microsoft, although there are some workarounds available. On the hypervisor stack, we can rely on Hyper-V Replica, where we're going to use the replication feature from within Hyper-V to actually copy virtual machines from one physical host to another physical host in the same data center, in the same building, or even using the internet to another data center. And then the top layer, relying on disaster recovery functionality, high availability functionality from the application itself. And then, of course, the ultimate is like a combination of everything. Where we can already talk a little bit about Azure, we can use Azure Site Recovery just for orchestration, but more on that in the next couple of slides. So the DR stack out of Microsoft, in my case, I pinpoint Hyper-V Replica because it's working on the hypervisor layer and integrating the hypervisor layer with Azure Site Recovery. And then, of course, we have backup out of the Windows backup solution, which is shown in the next slide. Smaller environments, remote sites, easily to be backupped in Windows Server Backup. And I guess you're going to talk about that one in your next session, Rasmus. Followed by a more centralized backup or in larger and enterprise environments using System Center Data Protection Manager. And then offloading backup to Azure. And then again, performing the failover full disaster recovery by maybe integrating, combining the two solutions, the two components of Azure together. Which brings me to the main topic, Azure Site Recovery. Now, Azure Site Recovery, in short, it allows you actually to perform two different ways of recovery. The first one, and this is the one that's mainly used the most, is replicating your on-premises virtual machines or even physical servers into the Azure Site Recovery cloud environment. So how does it work? We have our primary site, and a primary site machine can be built in three different ways. Can be an existing physical machine. Physical machine needs to run server 2012 or 2012 R2. Hyper-V, a Hyper-V host, and on top of that virtual machines, the Hyper-V host needs to run server 2012 or R2. And then, and this is already a surprise for a lot of customers, it also supports VMware. So if you are running the VMware environment, ESX, ESXi 5.1, 5.5, and the latest one, 6, that also is supported to have a disaster recovery replica available inside the Microsoft Azure Site Recovery. So three technologies, three platforms, physical servers, Hyper-V layered virtual machines, and VMware virtual machines. On the other side, we have Azure Site Recovery. And in the middle, the red lines, is actually the replication. Replication itself, all traffic passes through HTTPS. So the traffic from your data center to the Azure cloud is fully encrypted. Another possible topology where Azure Site Recovery can be of help is not replicating data from your data center directly into Azure, but actually using Azure Site Recovery as the orchestrator, where you perform failover disaster recovery between two physical data centers. And then again, on one side you have physical machines replicating data and system states and the virtual machines themselves to the other data center, where Azure Site Recovery is just the orchestrator. So no data is being synced into Azure itself. Now the key features of Azure Site Recovery is, first of all, automated virtual machine protection and replication. And then again, physical machines, but they will always be translated as virtual machines into Azure Site Recovery. But it's a full automated process, very intuitive, can be an easy process, can be configured as a more complex, more complete solution by integrating scripts and so on. But I'll show you that one later on in the demo. As with all the other Azure components, it has integrated health monitoring. So on different levels, and again, I'll show you later on in the console, we can verify the state of the virtual machines, the state of the source, the state of the target, what happened with my jobs, what important events, critical warnings, and so on, pop up. It's all visible in the console. Another important feature very related to disaster recovery as such is near zero RPO, so recovery point objective. In the default configuration, the replication from the on-premises environment into Azure is configured to occur every 15 minutes. In meantime, it can be lowered up to 30 seconds, which means if the virtual machine from the data center is being replicated to Azure, the maximum delay you can have is 30 seconds. Another interesting one for some environments, it's not that important, but still very handy, especially for us from the more technical side and as a consultant, is performing a full recovery plan testing without impacting on the production environment. So what this means is we can create our full recovery plan, which server has to perform the initial failover, which servers need to be performing the failover at the same time. Like imagine you have a SQL server, an application server that relies on Active Directory. Yeah, what if your SQL server performs a failover into Azure, the application server performs a failover to Azure, but your domain controller stays behind, yeah, then the application and the database inside Azure will never work. So by creating the recovery plan, you can actually create collections of virtual machines that need to be replicated and be failed over together. Then replication too, and also very important from Azure. So it's not only one way. After your disaster has been solved, you can perform a fallback from Azure. Now, of course, a lot of customers also decide to actually leave their recovered systems in Azure, where the on-premises environment becomes like the secondary side, or even the on-premises environment is not needed anymore. And then again, very powerful support for mixed physical and virtual systems, both running Windows Hyper-V and VMware. Which brings me to the configuration. And well, without going too much in detail here, because it's a lot cooler that I can just show you how it works, it's a seven-step walkthrough scenario. So in the first step, you create a vault, which is like the activation of Azure Site Recovery as a feature within one of the so many Azure functionalities. In the second step, in this case, about creating a Hyper-V site, where a Hyper-V site is like a logical container, where in my demo, I just nominated it the New York site. So like, this is my location, a group of Hyper-V servers in that specific location. In the third step, it involves the preparation of the Hyper-V servers. And again, if these are physical servers, if this is a VMware environment, yeah, it's not that it's moving up to like 20 steps. So again, step three, preparing Hyper-V servers in the VMware environment. Step three will be preparing the VMware servers. So it's a lot identical. Preparing the Hyper-V servers, actually, two easy steps, downloading the Azure Site Recovery Provider, which can be understood as an agent that you install on the Hyper-V box, and the registration key, which registers the Hyper-V host in the Azure Site Recovery and performing the HTTPS configuration. Then in step four, creating the resources on the Azure site involves creating a storage account where the virtual machines will be stored in a secured and encrypted location, and also creating an Azure virtual network, because once the virtual machines in Azure come up, yeah, we want to make sure that we can still connect to those machines. And then again, extending the connections between the data center and Azure Site Recovery by using site-to-site VPN, by using ExpressRoute, for example, we can make sure that our users who are still working in our on-premises environment or maybe working remotely, that they still have access to the virtual machines within Azure. And then the intelligence is mainly around step five and step six, where We first of all configure protection groups, configure recovery plans, and classify protection on virtual machine level. And then the last step, step 7, is actually performing a test deployment. And that's all it takes. So from step 1 all the way down to step 7, if, of course, Azure subscription is already available, Hyper-V servers are patched, and everything is up and running, yeah, it shouldn't take longer than, I would say, about an hour. Yeah, maybe if it's like your first configuration, estimate like half a day to go from step 1 all the way down to step 7. So again, but from another view, starting with an Azure subscription, creating the Azure Recovery Vault, downloading the agents, downloading the registration key, installing on the Hyper-V box directly, or if you're running Virtual Machine Manager out of System Center, you install a System Center agent on those machines that will recognize all the Hyper-V servers in your System Center cloud, or again, if you want, the VMware servers or physical machines. It will start replicating the base information about your virtual machines, like CPU, memory, disk space, and so on, mapping that one with almost identical machine specifications within Azure, and then in the last step, synchronizing the data and performing your failover. Now, a lot of explanation there. I think it's a lot cooler and more interesting to just show you and walk you through the configuration. So I have my Azure environment up and running, and already did some preparation because the part that takes the longest time is actually replicating the virtual machine, which is pretty hard to perform in less than 30 minutes. So I did already some pre-configuration. And just to show you how easy it actually is, so from within the Azure portal, selecting recovery services, and I'm going to create a new site recovery vault. TechNet Fridays. So why not nominating it as TechNet Friday Vault? Oh, that was a bit too quick. It doesn't allow me to select the list. One last attempt. No, not that important. I already created one here before. So my Azure Site Recovery Vault is created. This is like a logical, a virtual space within Azure Site Recovery. And then, as I explained to you, it's all the way down from step 1 to 7. Step 7 is not really visible here. It involves a more detailed step for creating your recovery plan and creating the test failover. So the next step is creating the Hyper-V site, where, again, a Hyper-V site is just a logical container, can be a location, can be like your own imaginary name for a couple of Hyper-V hosts. Didn't take longer than just a couple of seconds. All right, so within my Azure Recovery Vault, created the Hyper-V site. Then the second step is preparing the Hyper-V servers. So downloading the agent and downloading a registration key. Now, how does it work on the Hyper-V box itself? Again, I did some preparation. But it's actually the Azure Site Recovery connector, so it's like a next finish install, where you specify the internet HTTPS connection from the server to Azure, how it will happen. It's a direct connection, it's using proxy with or without authentication. And in the next step, you actually upload the registration key. and the registration key contains the unique number of your Azure subscription, the specific Azure Vault name, and the Hyper-V site. So this is like the unique information you need to register to allocate your Hyper-V host into the Azure Site Recovery environment. And on the Hyper-V host itself, that's all that's needed. Now the same goes for VMware and physical machines, with just a small side note. If you want to use Azure Site Recovery in the VMware environment or on physical machines, then you need to deploy two additional virtual machines within Azure and one additional physical or virtual machine in the on-premises environment. So it doesn't allow you to download or register the physical box directly or the VMware hosts directly. But again, it's almost the exact same setup. So now we have our server registered. So I have my Hyper-V site, I have my physical machine, and the next step involves protecting my items. Right in the first step, I'm going to create a protection group, where a protection group is, again, a logical virtual group, a collection of Hyper-V hosts. Now in my demo environment, I have like one physical host with only a couple of virtual machines. The protection group also allows you to classify different recovery plans based on the virtual machine characteristics. So for example, when you create a new protection group, you can classify, okay, all the virtual machines in this protection group need to replicate the data to Azure every 30 seconds. Or in case of maybe less critical servers, perform the failover, perform the replica every 15 minutes. So that's one of the reasons why you should create different protection groups. And then again, I could show you, but I'm not really going to go through it completely. I already prepped a protection group. And the next part is adding virtual machines. So just a couple of machines that are already part of my environment. I'm just going to try to add another one. So these are the virtual machines that I can show you by going back to my Hyper-V box, are in fact the Hyper-V guests, the virtual machines that are running here. And as you can see, all those machines here are, for the time being, up and running in my on-premises data center. So the Azure Site Recovery agent, the provider, is installed. It will start replicating metadata into Azure Site Recovery, and it will list up all the virtual machines that are running on my Hyper-V host. So let me take one of my smaller machines, and in this case, a Windows machine. I specify the operating system, my Azure subscription, and that's all it takes. Then here, in the notification bar, it will tell me enabling protection of a virtual machine. Now, I'm not going to wait for the full replication, but what I can already share with you is the detailed information from the jobs pane. Now, don't worry too much about the failed arrows here. I tried to do like a true disaster recovery failover, where I was actually shutting down my Hyper-V host, where in the meantime my virtual machines were still performing the replication. So don't be scared, it's actually a very interesting part of showing you the level of information we can get out of it. So for example, a couple of days back, performing a failover, updating the virtual machine state, planned failover, enabling protection, and so on and so on. Full failover is okay, removing the protection group that I created in test, and so on and so on. Even by selecting one of those lines, it even provides me more detailed information. Now, let me go back to this latest step, enable protection, where again, this enable protection action, so like one single action, is actually based on a couple of different steps. performing prerequisite checks, identifying your application target, enabling replication, and then the hardest part from a timing perspective is starting the initial replication. It might take a couple of hours depending on the size of the virtual machines. But one of the latest updates in the Azure Site Recovery functionality is that Microsoft actually allows you to perform offline updates. What this means is if you have larger virtual machines of quite a lot of different virtual machines to be replicated, instead of waiting that everything is up and running in the Azure Site Recovery environment, by using the HTTPS synchronization, you can actually perform an offline copy, an offline backup even if you want, on local disks, and then having the Microsoft truck sending them to the data centers, which in case Belgium is Amsterdam or Dublin, and then someone within Microsoft will actually perform the uploads of the virtual machine data, the VHD files, into your specific Azure tenant. Another part that might be of interest, let me just select one of the machines that are already replicated. So as I mentioned, still during the slide deck, is out of the Azure Site Recovery provider, the Azure Site Recovery mechanism will try to map the characteristics of the virtual machines in the source on-premises environment and trying to map them with similar Azure characteristics. Although we also have the option, and I'll just try to show you here. But as you can see, I have my small virtual machine, a domain controller, one CPU, 1 GB of RAM, and Azure will try to map this with an existing machine sizing within Azure. Now in here, I can actually perform some cool manipulations. Now in this example, again, it's just a small demo environment. I'm not really gonna resize my small domain controller into like a beast of a virtual machine in Azure, but maybe in your production environment, what you can actually do is doing exactly the opposite. So imagine in your on-premises environment, you have like a SQL server or an application server, which has, I don't know, 16 CPUs, 64 gigabytes of RAM. Yeah, why not just making the machine available in Azure, but maybe in a smaller size. So that's also something that can be configured. Second part that can be configured on virtual machine level is classifying to which Azure virtual network that machine belongs, classifying the subnet, and configuring a target IP address. And then again, by using similar technology than, for example, VLAN tagging, by using express routes, by using site-to-site VPN, updating settings in DNS and so on, making sure that when an end user connects to webapplication.company.com, in case of a failover, that your DNS server is aware that it's not pinpointing to the local web server, but is pointing to the web application inside Azure. Extending this with Azure Resource Manager, extending this with Azure Traffic Manager is all part of the combination. So we are now at step 5. Two more steps left, and I think timing-wise that's pretty perfect to walk you through the full scenario. So what we have now is Hyper-V or System Center Virtual Machine Manager or VMware Physical Machines on the source are actually registered in Azure Site Recovery and the virtual machines are being replicated. We created protection items. The machines are replicating their state, and once they are fully replicated, it's just the last delta bits and bytes that need to be replicated. In the last step, before performing a failover, we're going to create our disaster recovery intelligence, which is called recovery plan. Now, creating a recovery plan is actually pretty easy. Again, TechNet Friday, recovery plan, where I select my protection group that I created before, my virtual machine, and that's about it. And then what happens is, let me close some notification lights. What happens here is a recovery plan is actually built on different components. A group shutdown, which allows you to shut down the virtual machines in the source environment, then performing a group failover, and launching some additional activities. Now, these groups can be extended up to 7 different groups. So, for example, a group could be my application servers, my database servers, my domain controllers, or could even be like domain controller 1, application server 1, web server 1, and then creating a second group, performing a failover of domain controller 2, web server 2, and application server 2. On top of that, it also allows me to integrate scripts. Scripts as part of what needs to happen before the group shutdown, what needs to happen after the group shutdown. Scripts can be picked up out of Azure by using Azure Automation, or it also allows you to create your own PowerShell scripts. And then also the last one, integrating manual steps. So for example, performing a full failover, shutting down the virtual machines in the source side, starting up the virtual machines in the Azure side, and before actually executing the full disaster recovery, waiting for manual approval from the IT department. So this is pretty powerful. And then the last activity we can perform is a test failover or a full failover. Let me try in my test environment to perform a failover. A failover can happen in 2 ways, a planned failover or an unplanned failover. A planned failover is going through the recovery plan, but in a more controlled state. So making sure that all virtual machines are down, the data is fully replicated, and so on. Where the unplanned failover is, in my opinion, the best disaster recovery test you can perform. It's like, oh, something happened, but we actually have no idea what. And we're going to make sure that everything that's running or that is available within Azure Site Recovery will start up, will pick up the latest replica settings, and everything is up and running within the Azure environment. So how does it work? Performing planned failover from Azure to my site. Now, why in this case? Because just to make sure that I could go through the full demo, I performed the full failover from the on-premises environment into Azure. So now I'm just going to do the opposite. Synchronize the data. And that's all it takes. Starting the job. So again, selecting the line, and it will give me a full detailed list of each and every step. There we go. So checking prerequisites, preparing the environment, performing the last data sync. It might take some time, depending on, I think this machine performed a replica like 3-4 hours ago. So I'm not really going to wait for that one. What actually happens, and this one I might show you, is in my environment here, I have virtual machines running, so a couple of virtual machines that are for the time being stopped. And during the failover plan, actually those shutdown virtual machines that will perform a failover into my own local Hyper-V box. So as you can see here, the machine is still in an off state. It's performing the last replica, and most probably in the next couple of minutes, it will execute the startup of this machine. And in this specific scenario, I perform the full failover of the virtual machine out of Azure Site Recovery back to my on-premises environment. So I think with that, we are about close to the Q&A part of my session. Rasmus, can you check if there are any important questions from the audience?
Let me say it like this. We only have important questions from the audience. So we have a lot of great questions coming in. Let me just find one here. There is a question. How can we calculate the price of, for example, replicating or protecting one Hyper-V server, one specific server? How should I go about calculating the price for that?
Okay, that's a very good question. I somehow decided to not talk too much about licensing and pricing because it's a technical topic. Pricing within Azure is not always that easy to calculate. It's not only valid for site recovery as such, but for a couple of other components. Now, the easy way, it's actually not that hard to calculate. So the first component, pricing-wise, is a fixed fee per virtual machine, which is €40 per month. That allows you to perform site recovery. Second cost is a single one-time fee, €200, close to $220, if you want, for actually using site recovery as a service. That's like your fixed monthly fee. So if you have two virtual machines, it's like €200 and then twice 40, so that's close to €300. And then the costs for using Azure is actually pretty interesting. And there's already a very interesting difference between a lot of the existing disaster recovery solutions and the way how Azure Site Recovery is actually managing it. As you saw in my demo in my topology, when you're replicating data from your on-premises environment into Azure, you're replicating to an offline virtual machine. Offline in Azure means it's only consuming storage, which in Azure is actually pretty cheap. So the true disaster recovery cost on how you can calculate it is what is, first of all, my machine size. So like in my environment, my little domain controller was mapped to an A1 virtual machine sizing in Azure. And that machine, for example, costs close to €25 per month, running it 24/7. Now in a disaster recovery environment, or even in a disaster recovery scenario, most probably your machines in Azure, they might run for, I don't know, maybe a couple of hours, or in worst case, a couple of days. So the way how I present it to my customers is we take the full one-on-one mapping from the on-premises environment, mapping with the virtual machine classifications in Azure, and then dividing that cost by 5. Which means if out of the full month, in case of a full disaster recovery, all my machines will run for like 3-4 days. Then hoping that my on-premises environment is back up and running, performing the failover, virtual machines in Azure shut down, and then I just pay the consumption of the storage and the fixed fee for the service.
Excellent. Thank you for that answer. So Bruno has a question for you here. So it is, are VMware converted to Hyper-V, or you could say upgraded to Hyper-V?
No. So, well, of course you can, but the way the Azure Site Recovery agent mechanism is working in case of VMware is in your VMware environment, you install an additional virtual machine or even a physical server, which performs the registration like I showed in my Hyper-V environment. And then during the translation, it's performing a conversion from the VMware virtual machine to a Hyper-V virtual machine directly in Azure. When in case of a failover, when your VMware server goes down or the virtual machine itself goes down, the virtual machine in Azure, so yeah, the Hyper-V format will start up. And once you perform a failback, the Hyper-V VHD file within Azure goes down, replicating the last syncs back to the VMware environment, and then you can start up your virtual machine as a VMware machine again.
Excellent. So we also have a question about IP addressing. Can we keep static IP on replicated VMs on Azure? And can we have, can it be the exact same as on-premise networks?
Yes, now, that is a bit outside of Azure Site Recovery functionality as such. So as I quickly showed you in the virtual machine configuration, is classifying the Azure virtual network. And then the second part is specifying the subnet and a fixed IP address. Now, of course, if, let's say, on your on-premises environment, you have like a 10.0.0 network, you can allocate the same network in Azure, but then you have to extend Azure as the overall cloud umbrella by creating the virtual networks, by relying on stretched networking that it allows you to perform IP networking communication between your on-premises environment and Azure. So it's like a configuration that needs to be done, additional configuration, outside of Azure Site Recovery as such. It's more on how can I combine, glue my two networks together, which is built in Azure, that's no problem.
Okay. How do we handle DNS then? Do you view this as something separate, or can we do something, can we work with DNS inside the ASR solution?
Yeah. So there again, it's a combination of the two. So for example, as I showed you in the demo, is extending your recovery plan by running a custom script where the custom script could, for example, be entering specific DNS servers settings in the virtual machine that comes up in Azure, or performing a DNS update, or executing like ipconfig flush DNS, for example. And then again, from the next layer on Azure Virtual Networks, when configuring a network in Azure, you can also allocate all machines on this virtual network need to use this specific DNS server, which can be Azure DNS or can be related to one of your on-premises DNS servers, like a virtual machine running DNS services, or pinpointing to a virtual machine that's already running in Azure as a virtual machine outside of the Azure Site Recovery functionality.
Okay, thank you again, and good question, by the way. We have time for one last question here. It's a big question, though, could you briefly explain about data consistency of applications such as Exchange Server, SQL Server, and maybe even third-party applications?
Sure. So first of all, it's based on Hyper-V replica, so which means it's replicating all changes from the on-premises environment, the on-premise virtual machines into Azure, or the other way around in case of a failover. Now again, when configuring your protection groups and recovery plans, it actually allows you to specify, okay, perform not only the replication of the bits and bytes as such, but also perform a consistency check. Consistency check on the virtual machine itself, on the operating system, and also on the application layer. And then even going one step further, imagine you're running a SQL cluster, then you can specify, okay, perform the failover primarily by using the SQL cluster failover mechanism and not by using Azure Site Recovery.
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for all the great questions from the audience. Peter, I want to thank you for your time, spending an hour with us, giving us some insights to how this solution works. And I want to thank our audience, everyone there, for joining us today and listening in.